Today we're actually concluding our preaching series entitled Encounters with Jesus. Next week being Palm Sunday, we'll be entering into Holy Week and focusing in on, of course, Palm Sunday and anticipating the joy of Resurrection Sunday. Today's encounter is a unique encounter for a number of reasons. First of all, it's recorded in three of the four Gospels. Secondly, it is an encounter that Jesus has that is rather unexpected. And lastly, as we will see, it is an encounter with Jesus that doesn't result in real life change. So I've entitled the message, Someone Who Had It All. And we understand what that means, someone who has a lot going for them. Someone who seemingly has the world on a string, the kind of people that everything goes well for them. They can fall into a pig pen and come out smelling like roses. And you know these people. Some of you may have family members that are like that or know someone like that. In history, we've seen people like that who seem to have it all, but often at a very young age, their life ends. And I could say the names and you would say, oh yeah, they did seem to have it all. Actor, comedian Freddie Prinze. Actor James Dean, Marilyn Monroe, John Kennedy Jr., Elvis, Tiger Woods, the list goes on and on. Well, today we have an encounter between Jesus and someone who had it all. And again, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. So we're going to read our text. It's from the Gospel of Luke. It's the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 30, for a message entitled, Someone Who Had It All. Hear now the word of God from Luke chapter 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Instead, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this, they asked, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. There is some important background information that we need to consider as we look into this encounter that Jesus has. This encounter involves Jesus and a rich ruler. And one of the other accounts describes them as the rich young ruler. And so this man embodies values that are very important in our society today. Because let's face it, our society values youth. The beauty industry capitalizes on the quest for eternal youthfulness. They sell skin creams, facial packs, hair colors. They offer cosmetic surgery. It is because people value youthfulness. Our society values riches and wealth. You'll see programs on the rich and famous on TV. You never see programs on TV on the poor and obscure, right? Nobody wants to know about them or learn about them. But the rich and the famous, sure. We want to learn about them. People think that if they have riches, they'll have it made. And then there's power and position. People are highly seeking after these because we covet as the ability to be over someone, to be an authority. And so power is coveted and treasured in our society. You want to be someone who is a mover and a shaker, someone who is in power. Well, you combine all those together, you get the rich young ruler. He's rich, he's young, and he's powerful. Someone who had it all. Well, in this story, the rich ruler, the rich young ruler comes seeking Jesus. And the first point of our message today is this. The rich ruler, he came to the right person with the right question. He came to the right person and with the right question. Verse 18 says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now keep in mind, this ruler has everything going for him. He can buy whatever he needs or wants. He can do whatever he desires to do. But he wants something more, something he can't buy, something he can't achieve on his own. He wants the key to eternal life. The question is a good question, but it's flawed. Notice he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, he's asking Jesus, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. I've been a good boy. I've done things well. What can I do to have this blessing of eternal life? He is a self-made man. How can he secure for himself eternity? Well, he asked the right question, and he comes to the right person because he asked Jesus. And Jesus, of course, hears him out. He had riches, he had position, he had power, but there was a void in his life. And he came to Jesus to fill a spiritual void in his life. And he is desperate for an answer, so much so that he basically throws himself down before Jesus and asks the question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Notice he addressed Jesus with the title good teacher. And so before Jesus answers his question, he asks the rich young ruler a question. Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. In other words, he says, you know what you are saying, young man? Do you understand who you're talking to, young man? Do you understand the conversation and the significance that we're having here? You're asking for eternal life, but Jesus wants to know if he is prepared to accept Jesus as the very Son of God, as the long-awaited Messiah, as the Savior. All three Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, record this question, but interestingly, none of them give any kind of answer that Jesus gives or that the rich young ruler gives. Why do you call me good? Only God is good is the only response we have. And only God can forgive sins. But Jesus doesn't stop there. As he has this conversation with this rich young ruler, he says, well, you know the commandments. And he begins naming those commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. It's interesting that Jesus, when he mentions the commandments, mentions those that involve relationships with other people. All the commandments that he lists are relationships with other people. Do you know the commandments? Do you understand how important this is? And so there's a second point we need to make today, and that's this. The rich young ruler had lived an obedient life. He had lived an obedient life. He heard Jesus rattle off these commandments, and he's quick to say, I've kept all these since I was a small boy, my whole life. In other words, I've earned it. I've earned this key to eternal life. I've kept the law. I've been blessed of God. Surely I am worthy of eternal life. I've kept these since I was a boy. In Mark's account of this story, it says upon hearing his response that Jesus looked upon the man and loved him. He looked upon him and he loved him. And I think Jesus is looking right into the heart and the soul of this man. He realized he's not fully surrendered to God. He's not fully following me and trusting God. He's missing out. Obedience is important. Don't get me wrong. It's important that we be obedient, but Jesus looks in love and says, you know what, rich young ruler, there's one thing that you lack. There's one thing that you lack. And what is that one thing that he lacks? His possessions. He has lots of them. Remember, he's rich, and he has to give them to the poor. The Lord has told has not told this to his disciples, but he tells it to the rich young ruler because there was one thing standing between this man following Jesus and being a fully devoted believer, and that was his wealth. And Jesus could see that. He could see what was coming between him and that relationship. And so he says, you need to do this. You need to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. This demand was not for all his followers. It was just for this individual. So why does he ask him to sell all his possessions and give money to the poor? Well, the point is this. Jesus knew that there was one thing. There's one thing keeping him from the kingdom of God. One thing. He's kept the law. He's been obedient. He understands the law. But he's missing out on this. He's got one thing between him and God. Jesus puts his finger exactly on that point that the young man came up short on. The very point of childlike faith is this, that we will give up whatever it is that's keeping us from fully following Jesus. And this man was trusting in his riches. And it was exactly that reason that he couldn't exhibit the childlike faith that Jesus longs to see. And he realized, this man's not quite there yet. He needs to get rid of his wealth. He needs to sacrifice his wealth, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. You know, Jesus looks at you in love as well. And he asks you the question, do you lack one thing? Whatever it is, let go of it. It may not be wealth and riches like the rich young ruler, but it may be something else. It could be merit. It could be achievements. It could be a relationship that you're in with someone. It could be an idol that you're holding on to. Could be an achievement, a title. We must put Christ first in our lives and have an open hand, willing to let go of anything that comes between us in our relationship with him. The last commandment which Jesus had mentioned and which the rich young ruler had claimed to have kept from his youth was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The rich young ruler says he had kept the law his whole life, but he missed out on those two greatest commandments. Because he ideally didn't love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he certainly didn't love his neighbor as himself as he continued to hoard his wealth, unwilling to give it away. All 10 commandments are summed up in those two commandments, and the rich young ruler missed both of them. He missed both of them. So Jesus doesn't try to sermonize here on this point. He doesn't try to, you know, give him lots of teaching or preaching. He simply says, one thing you lack. And he tells him, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Jesus is encouraging this young man that there's one thing keeping him from that relationship. Yes, he's kept the law. He's been obedient, but he didn't have the relationship. Much like the Pharisees, right? They kept the law, but they didn't have the relationship. And Jesus says, if you and I are going to have fellowship together, if we're going to have relationship, you need to give your possessions to the poor and come and follow me. And that leads to our next point, which is the rich ruler encountered Jesus, but he wasn't changed. Wouldn't it be great if we had the rest of the story where he went and sold his possessions and gave it to the poor and came back with great enthusiasm to follow Jesus and be one of the disciples? We don't have that story in the Bible. All we have is him becoming very sad, turning away, walking away because of his great wealth, as the text tells us. Verse 23, when he had heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Sorrowful. Think about that. He had an opportunity for a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and he walked away sorrowful. Too many people today are like the rich young ruler. We long for the privilege of everlasting life, but we're unwilling to put Jesus first in our life. And not every person is required to give up their wealth, as this young man was. But we are encouraged to allow Jesus Christ to be preeminent in all of our lives, to reign upon our hearts as Savior and Lord. Keep in mind that Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to the cross. And can you imagine him just standing there with the disciples behind him as this rich young ruler who had been down on his knees and asking Jesus this profound question, rising to his feet, his soul becoming downcast, his face becoming sad, his eyes not focusing on Jesus, and turning and walking away. And all the while, the disciples are thinking, wow, look at this. Here is someone who obviously deserves the kingdom of God. Look, he checks all the boxes. And if he became one of us, think how he could help our meager treasury with some of those resources. If he can't be a follower of Jesus, what about us? And that's when Peter decides to speak up. He says, Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. What is this all about? What does it mean to follow you? If this man who seems to have it all can't be a follower of Jesus Christ, where are we in all this? How do we measure up? It's a legitimate question. What will it take, Jesus? What are you asking of us? And that leads to our final point. I think Jesus is calling all believers, whether it's the rich young ruler, whether it's Peter and the 12, and the disciples, or whether it's you and me, he's calling all of us to sacrifice. To sacrifice. Because verse 29 is rather convicting. Jesus said to them, "No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." He's calling us to sacrifice anything that comes between him and us. Anything that prohibits proper relationship. For the rich young ruler, it was his wealth. It may not be wealth for you, it may be something else. But whatever it is, we have to be willing to place it at the foot of the cross. I don't think he's commanding us to sell everything we have and give to the poor in order to follow him. But we have to consider anything that would be a hindrance to our faith journey with Jesus. May it's a job, a hobby, a habit, a relationship, an idol, whatever it might be, we need to put it at the feet of the cross. Psalm 51, verse 17 is a great verse. It says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." What kept the rich young ruler from having a life-changing encounter with Jesus? He didn't have a broken spirit. He didn't have a contrite heart. He had all the obedience in the world, but he didn't have the Lord God at the very center of it all. I think this is one of the saddest stories in the whole Scripture. Imagine having a face-to-face encounter with Jesus and having been told that you must do something that you certainly can do in order to be his disciple and to follow him and to inherit eternal life. And to hear it and say, you know what? I'm not willing to do that. It had to be heartbreaking for Jesus to see this young man and all his potential and to see him walk away, sad, rejecting what Jesus had told him to do. I wonder what became of him after he went home sadly. Was this the end of his relationship with Christ? Did he keep his money and continue to live out the rest of his years? Any way you look at it, it was the worst transaction he ever made. His value system was absurd. We should be able to give everything we have and do anything we can if it means inheriting the kingdom of God. Even Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Sounds a lot like the rich young ruler. Jesus was calling him to relationship, to come and to follow. But he was stuck on the rules. What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he missed the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He seemingly had it all. But if you think about it, he really had nothing at all. In fact, he's one of those ones that Jesus misses the most, as we mentioned in last month's sermon. It's a great example of someone that Jesus misses the most. Let me give you three takeaways for the message today. First of all, a life-changing encounter with Jesus requires our complete surrender. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we don't say yes with qualifications or conditions. Jesus, I'll follow you if, or Jesus, I'll follow you when, or Jesus, I will be your disciple, you know, after this happens or that happens. Doesn't work that way. You either are all in or you're all out. It requires our complete surrender. We must surrender everything. And the rich young ruler was unwilling to surrender his wealth to follow Jesus. Number two, obedience apart from relationship will not save us. Remember, he was absolutely obedient. He had kept the law since he was a boy. He could check the obedience box, but he never had the relationship. He's just like the Pharisees. They knew the law, but they weren't living the law. Why? Because they didn't have the relationship. Third, we need to let go of everything that comes between us and the Lord. And that doesn't mean simply money or possessions, anything. If Jesus is going to be our Lord and Savior, he needs to be first in everything in our life. Let me close with this story. Let's say you have a friend who is dying of some terrible disease. And so you take him to the doctor, and the doctor says, I have a remedy for you. If you just follow my advice, you will be healed, and you will live a long and fruitful life. But there's only one problem. While you're taking my remedy, you can't eat chocolate. Now, what if your best friend turned to you and said, forget it, no chocolate? What's the use of living? I'll follow the doctor's remedy, but I will also keep eating chocolate. That's a great summary of the story today. Of someone who had it all and encountered Jesus, but wasn't willing to stop eating chocolate. Think about that. If Christ is really God, then all the conditions are gone. To know Jesus is to say, Jesus, wherever you touch my life, anywhere that you impact my life, I'm surrendering it to you. And if that means I don't eat chocolate, guess what? I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm going to follow you. There are no conditions anymore. If he's really God, he can't be just a supplement, can't be simply an add-on to our life. He has to be Lord and God. And we need to completely surrender and reorder our lives around our relationship with Jesus. The rich young ruler was unwilling to do that. What about you? Are you willing to turn from everything, and prevent you from following wholeheartedly after Jesus? Are you willing to say, Lord, I will obey. I will surrender. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Because I want to inherit eternal life as well. I want to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Next week's Palm Sunday. And so this concludes our life-changing encounters with Jesus. And next Sunday we'll be in Palm Sunday and beginning the observance of Holy Week. And my sincere prayer for you is that you too have had that life-changing encounter. And so that's why we preach this series, is to challenge you to ask yourself honestly, have I had that life-changing encounter with Jesus? Or I'm someone who's come to Jesus and wanted to follow him on my own terms, much like the rich young ruler. If you're like him today, my prayer is that you would say, okay, Lord, I surrender all. It's all about you. And if there is something that's keeping you from that relationship with Jesus Christ, friends, please place it at the foot of the cross. Place it at the foot of the cross. Because that's where Jesus is headed. to give his life for you. A life that we will be celebrating with great joy in 2 weeks on Resurrection Sunday. Let's continue to focus in on Jesus as we journey through these final days of Lent and as we enter into the Holy Week. See, Holy Week coming up here next Sunday. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story, and it is a disappointing story of a young man who seemingly seemed to have it all and yet missed everything. He was unwilling to surrender his wealth in order to follow Jesus, who desired to have eternal life but wasn't willing to sacrifice. And Father, we see in this young man so many people we know, perhaps even ourselves, that come to Jesus but are unwilling to surrender all. Father, when we follow Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we fully surrender. And we invite him to reorder our lives and to reign upon our hearts and our minds and our values and our decisions and our thinking and our relationships as our Savior and our Lord and our God. So, Father, if there's one here today who hasn't had that life-changing encounter with Jesus, Father, I pray in these moments remaining that right where they are, they would pause and pray and invite you into their life. Surrender everything they have to you and asking you to reign upon their hearts as Savior and Lord, as a forgiven, beloved creation, a new creation who is now living for you. Continue to journey with us, Lord, as we follow Jesus on the path to Holy Week and to the joy of Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.